Good morning, family. Welcome. I am so glad that you have decided to join us this morning. And what a week it has been. I don't know about y'all, but I feel like I am kind of still coming out of some natural disaster trauma, which is exactly what we experienced with the winter storm that came through. If you have felt heavy this week or a little sluggish or just off, there is a good reason for that. So we're not used to that kind of weather down here. And so this week has been a lot in our city of recovering and people grappling with ruined homes again and displaced. HISD did not have school as normal this week. So there's a lot of things that have been off and changed. Many people trying to get back into work and finding a routine. So again, I am just so excited that you decided to join us this morning wherever you find yourself. Remember to grab some communion supplies. We are going to share in communion together virtually soon, so please do that. Get comfy wherever you find yourself and open your minds, your heart, your hands for what we are going to receive this morning. Welcome, friends. You are wanted here.
Hello.
I'll be reading from Psalm 22, verses 23 through 31. Praise the Lord, all of you who fear him. Honor him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. I will praise you in the great assembly. I will fulfill my vows in the presence of those who worship you. The poor will eat and be satisfied. All who seek the Lord will praise him. Their hearts will rejoice with everlasting joy. The whole earth will acknowledge the Lord and return to him. All the families of the nations will bow down before him. For royal power belongs to the Lord. He rules all the nations. Let the rich of the earth feast and worship. Bow before him, all who are mortal, all whose lives will end as dust. Our children will also serve him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. His righteous acts will be told to those not yet born. They will hear about everything he has done.
Good morning, church. Let's praise God together with "How Great Is Our God" and "Standing on the Promises." The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. the Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God! How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally with love strong's cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot foil, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen.
Thank you, Brent, for leading us in song. Thanks to Alex for reading our psalm today, and Nora, who lit our candle. She told me as she was walking off, that's the first time that she's lit a candle. So that's great. I love the full participation in that way. All of our other young children, you should have a leaves bulletin that looks something like this in your possession or somewhere in your house. You saw the psalm that Mr. Alex just read, and on the back there are a couple of activities and questions, including one that says, list some name of women who you know are pregnant, and I'm going to give you one. Miss Jackie Graham is pregnant, and we have a baby shower for her later this afternoon that we'll talk about specifically. Also, last week for our Roots friends, our elementary age, and all of you who are young at heart, we started this little Lenten activity called Finding Jesus. I hid Jesus, our little miniature figure of Jesus, somewhere on the wall behind me. Maybe you found him. We're doing this because during Lent, one of the things that we want to pay attention to is always looking for Jesus. We always want to know where Jesus is located. What is he doing there? What is Jesus up to? We're always looking for Jesus during Lent. So my head may or may not be hiding Jesus even more right now. So if you haven't looked for him, now's a great time to do so. Or you may have to wait a little bit longer until I stand up again. All right, let me pray and we'll continue. By grace and goodness, O God, pour forth through me the gift of preaching this morning, this day. Thank you for the Christ who meets us as we are, where we are. Thank you for the hope that you give us. It's through Christ that we pray. Amen. In some Christian faith traditions, Lent is used as a preparation time for baptism. From Ash Wednesday, 11 days ago, to Good Friday, 5 weeks away, persons desiring baptism study the scriptures. They learn to grieve and remorse the sin of the world. They discover the healing wonder of God's grace. They walk alongside persons who are wise and patient. On Easter Sunday, when Christ is again risen, defeating death and all its many henchmen, those persons mirror that glorious salvation by being plunged under the waters and being lifted up, a second birth of sorts where the world is seen anew, and they are pulsed by the divine presence of the Holy Spirit. Lent, for these baptismal candidates, is a series of faith decisions. Who am I? Who is God? How then shall I live? Such questions are never fully answered, of course, but rather always being answered in the continuous motion of discipleship. When Chelsea and I discuss baptism with Cora, usually brought up by her, as we read the Gospel of Mark aloud or as we walk to the park, we'll eventually get around to talking about the baptisms that she has seen at Southwest Central, how we will all crowd up to the front to get as close as we possibly can to the miracle. Cora remembers Ellery's baptism. She remembers Xander's. She remembers the last person I baptized, Kathy, who is Nelson Beckett's friend. Some of you remember that as well, the last one before the pandemic hid the key to our baptistry. Remembering people's stories, she and I then talk about the why of baptism. I will usually couch it in terms of saying yes to God. In baptism, you are saying yes to God. You are saying yes to a way other than your own. You are dying to yourself, believing Jesus when he demonstrated that that is how true life happens. In baptism, you are no longer defined by sin or shame, nor by failures or success, nor by education or what's in your bank account. You are saved from all of that. You are forgiven for ever thinking otherwise. You receive a baptismal identity, a new name, a new hope, a new calling rooted in the life of Jesus the Christ. You are free to now and forever live with God and for God because you, my friend, are fully loved. If baptism is a faith decision you are interested in making, let's have that conversation, you and me. We can find a safe way to pick the pandemic lock on the baptistry, and we'll celebrate with great joy on Easter morning, if you so choose. Even so, the Lenten season will be the first one to tell all baptismal candidates that while baptism is redemptive and holy and altogether good, it is not an escape hatch from the world, from the sorrows and the ills that the world can bring. which makes our psalm for today an interesting pick for the lectionary. Open your Bibles back up to Psalm 22 if you already shut them. What we have here is a praise psalm with language and words reserved for other more joyous occasions like Easter or Thanksgiving. I will praise you in the great assembly. Hearts will rejoice with everlasting joy. Let them feast and worship. But during Lent, when we are supposed to be confessing and repenting and wearing mortal ashes on our foreheads, doesn't this psalm seem kind of out of place? When we talked last week of the things to carry into the Lenten wilderness, a praise hymnal was not on the packing list. It might be helpful then to see this psalm in two halves. If you read the first half, and I encourage you to do so, perhaps even during our time of communion, if you read those verses, you'll notice a couple of things. One, it's the grammar of deep lament, of pain, of profound suffering, of indignity, of a God who is far too silent. It's almost agonizing to read. You try to avert your eyes. You try to cover your children's ears. This is not a tamed zoo, but a harsh wasteland. All roaring lions and vicious dogs that will chomp into any exposed flesh. No one wants to hear the excruciating noises of someone's shoulders or elbows ripping out of their joints, as we read about in verse 14. No one wants to look upon an emaciated body. No one wants to count the rib bones protruding from that chest, as verse 17 says that we can. The writer of this psalm is in pitiful shape. If we haven't already moved on to the much more enjoyable Psalm 23, a second thing we notice in the first half of Psalm 22 is the familiar lingo. We've heard some of these lines elsewhere. My God, why have you forsaken me? All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. They say, he trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. It sounds a lot like the last minutes of Jesus' life, the final moments before he gave us the last thing his naked body and soul had to give, his breath. With all this abandonment, this embarrassment, this despair, by the time we get to verse 22 of what Alex just read to us, it's like a spiritual whiplash. From agony to adoration, from churchyard to church building, in the span of one sentence. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among the assembled people, the writer writes. How did we get from there to here? Just moments ago, God was nowhere to be found. This past week, the staggering number in our own country dead from this pandemic reached 500,000, half a million people. 20% of the 2.5 million worldwide who have died, unimaginable 1 year ago. While we in this congregation have thus far been mercifully spared from adding to those numbers, most of you at least know someone who has not been so fortunate. My cousin died of COVID. The father of a friend of ours died from COVID. Ministers and congregations I'm familiar with have died from COVID. hard to praise God in the assembly when you are afraid to breathe in public. If you are lucky enough for the pandemic to be an inconvenience more than a hardship, then you can likely fill in the blank with your own snowballed reasons about how you are not as in control as maybe you once thought you were. Be it burst water pipes or ulcer-inducing comments from family or concern about children or broken systems or anger about race or simply being left behind. The last thing that many people who suffer want is to go to church for yet another worship service. My God, why? During Lent, when all that we can carry with us is a prayer of, I lift up my soul, and a posture bent on learning to follow Jesus, the first half of Psalm 22 becomes the wilderness in which we face the truth. My life, my breath, my very existence depends not on myself, but on God. My life, my breath, my existence depends not on myself, but on God. Yeah. With that desert exhalation, we can then begin to see Psalm 22 not as two halves, but as one whole. Desperate prayer and celebratory praise, as distinct as they are not enemies. They go together, they hold hands, they embrace. Prayer and praise join in holy matrimony, two becoming one, and let no person ever pull apart what has been put together. Please don't mishear me. Praise does not have to mean happy, clappy, singing, break out the champagne, dance the night away with a worship band. The Lenten wilderness, among other things, strips away all the accumulation of particular feelings you think you have to have before you can praise God. The baptisms by fire that we experience out here singe forth a path for a baptism by faith. Because if the whole of Psalm 22 can be trusted, then to praise God after we have lamented to God is just about the most faith-filled thing that I can think of. To praise God before our prayers of help have been answered is a declaration of faith, as our contexts of lament and sorrow have a chance to become the settings for our hope and our trust. To praise God still, despite the mountain of evidence not to do so, is the powerful act of believing God, whose promised word holds everything together. Such faith comes from the profound yet quiet truth found in verse 24. God has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. God has not turned his back on them, but has heard their cries for help. In Lent, we recognize our own neediness. God, hearing our need, has never looked the other way when you are being kicked around. God has never wandered off to do his own thing. God has been right here listening. If God's ears are not enough for you to go on, then remember this. Christ himself, the one we have followed into this wilderness, has joined the congregation of the aggrieved and becomes one with them in their suffering. I remember a few years ago, Michael Tucker telling me about a funeral he had either watched on TV or attended in person. The funeral was for someone who had died under tragic circumstances, and the speaker that day said something to the effect of, "No one knows what you are feeling. Nothing we say can help." Michael, recounting the speaker's words, very animatedly says, "Oh, but we do. We can speak of Jesus, who became poor, who knows what it's like to suffer, who knows what it's like to agonize. God knows what it means to lose a child, to weep in pain." Jesus's reenactment of Psalm 22 shows us that whatever that vulnerable spot between faith and experience may mean, it does not mean that God has neglected those who cry out to him. Rather, it shows us that God, who knows, is not against us, but for us. The teachings of Jesus, his suffering, his Easter morning wake-up call, they are all done on our behalf, for our behalf, for the world's behalf, ever working to bring about the peaceable kingdom God so desires. If in Advent we talk about the Emmanuel and God with us, then here in Lent we can talk about the God who is for us. Maybe one of you want to start writing a sermonette that parallels David Pipes's God with Us, a God for Us homily that becomes a Lenten tradition that we read every year during this season here at Southwest Central. In the end, Psalm 22 is convinced that the for us aspect of God will bring about worldwide and cross-generational praise. The poor and the powerless will worship. Those who never got it together will rejoice. The dead will sing their hallelujahs. The child who is yet born will dance with joy, because the God who hears is always and forever with us. You and I, we in faith get to join in and praise God. May it be so. And together we say aloud or we type, Amen. The one who is lowly, as Psalm 22 says, invites us here to the Lord's table. We draw near not on our own merits or because of our own muscles, but we are drawn in by grace and by peace. We get to eat and drink unafraid because God is for us right here. The bread and the cup, the body and the blood are given for our regard. So let's eat and drink in faith and with each other and with great hope. Let's share this meal together right now. All right, let me also please remind you about our giving. We continue to give, don't we? Thanks for that. Thanks to those of you who continue to give out of whatever you have. You give online, you bring it to the church building, you drop it in the mail, you hand it to me directly. For all these things, I'm especially grateful. So thank you, friends, for doing that. Okay, so some of you may not be able to see the hidden Jesus. So Cora is going to go and point to the hidden Jesus. I'm going to invite her up to do that now. I'll step off screen so you can see it. Yes. Good job. If that one was too easy for you to find, I'll make it more difficult next week, I promise you. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you before I send you out and with a benediction. Sunny Glen, as some of you have seen in the newsletter, Sunny Glen is a children's home that we have long supported. They are coming by mid-March, I believe, mid-March, to pick up several items from this congregation and neighboring congregations. Items they are looking for are floor cleaner, all-purpose liquid cleaners, liquid fabric softeners, paper towels, and of course, money is always appreciated. If you want to help contribute some of those things, you can just bring it to the office and we'll make sure that, Sunny Glen gets it. This afternoon is our drive-through baby shower for Jackie Graham. We've talked about this for several weeks. It's been delayed 1 week due to weather. This is from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. this afternoon. There's a slight chance for rain, but even if it rains, that's okay. We're going to be underneath the carport over on the main side of the building. Come by, bring some gifts, show up for her. We got a couple of you helping me just behind the scenes here, and I'm grateful for that. But that's going to be from 3 to 4 today. If you, either if you're driving or walking, please make sure to come masked. Two things about vaccines and meeting together, and then I'll do our benediction. We are inching closer to opening up our building to some of you. I think that we're going to start right with those of you who have been vaccinated. We think that's the safest way forward. Our shepherds are talking exactly what that plan will be and timeline. Hopefully sometime in March that will happen. So look forward to more announcements in the future and information in the newsletter. Also, we have helped several of you get an appointment for your vaccines. If you need help, just let me know, and then I can contact folks who can help make that happen. Let King know, and he'll point you my direction, and we want to make sure everyone can get vaccinated who needs to. So thanks. Okay. Our last thing today is a benediction that we are reading over you every single week as we continue this Lenten journey together. This is a blessing from Numbers chapter 6. So this is for you, my friends. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. With that peace, go forward this week. Love you all. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next Sunday.